Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. on public access channel number 6 entitled The Message of Truth. Please give it a look. We also want to invite you to our website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word, these radio programs, TV programs, and a host of other Bible-related material. We also want to invite you to our periods of worship and Bible study at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given those meeting times. Please come and be with us. We would love to see you, and we want nothing from you but to discuss with you your need for God in your life and in relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and be with us. Today, we continue our discussion of sin and the nature of man. This part of our lesson in dealing with sin and the nature of man, we will bring to a close this particular part of the series in looking at the nature of man and his relationship to sin. Man's pardon from sin is the good news. Man can be forgiven and restored to fellowship with God only through God's merciful provision of a Savior, which must be accepted by man upon the conditions that God has extended, contrary to every theory of unconditional pardon. God promised to defeat Satan by providing sinners with a Savior. That promise was first introduced in Genesis 3:15 with the punishment that was brought upon to Satan. That Savior would be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the seed of woman. He received a minor blow when Satan led wicked men to murder him on Calvary. But in turn, he delivered Satan a fatal blow by overcoming the death and the grave, according to Hebrews 2, verse 9 through 14. We also read in 1 John 3, verse 8, he came to destroy the work of the devil. Foreshadowing all this were sacrifices represented by a river of blood of animal sacrifices, all flowing towards the cross of Calvary, but unable to take away sin, according to Hebrews chapter 10, 1 through 4. Christ's death alone would be sufficient for the perfect sacrifice for the sins of mankind. When he instituted the Lord's Supper, in Matthew 26, verse 28, he said that this is the blood of the covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Hebrews 8 and 9 also teaches this truth. In his death, the lawful demands of justice for sin were met. God unconditionally provided the basis of forgiveness of the sins of mankind by applying the blood of his Son. Perfect justice and perfect love met together at a crossroads. God does not force this forgiveness on any person. Therefore, man's acceptance of that grace is conditional. Man must choose to receive it and to accept it, and to live according to his teaching. The grace of God has been made available to the world. One must come to his terms despite popular opinion. How does man come to the terms of God's grace? Well, very easy. The alien sinner needs to hear the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He must believe what he's heard. In John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sin. He must repent. He must turn away from sin and turn towards God. He has to have a change of mind that results in a change of conduct. In Acts 17:30, at the time of ignorance, God once winked at, but He commands all men everywhere to repent. He must confess Christ. The eunuch, after hearing one gospel sermon from Isaiah 53, came to a body of water and asked Philip, see, here is water, what's hindering me to be baptized? And he was told, if thou believest, thou mayest. And he made the good confession that he believed Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8, verse 37. We can also read about that confession and the salvation in Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then on the day of Pentecost, when they understood that they were guilty of murdering the Son of God, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? The answer came in verse 38. To repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, we see that a man is buried into the death of Christ through baptism, and he arrives to walk in newness of life. We see in Galatians 3, verse 27, that he is baptized into Christ. Colossians 2, verse 11 says he's buried with Christ. And 1 Peter 3, verse 21 says, in like figure, where baptism does now also save us. In baptism, we reach the death of Christ. That's the place where his blood was shed, and that's the place his blood cleanses us from all sin and gives us forgiveness of sin, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. As Saul of Tarsus was told in Acts 22, verse 16, and why does thou tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. After our obedience to that same blood can forgive our sins if we repent and pray and seek God's forgiveness. Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit after his conversion and was told that he was in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And he asked Peter to pray for him that his heart might be right before God, that all these things would not come upon him. Verse John 1 verse 8 says, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar and the truth not in us. And Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yet, sin is the bad news. Sin is the thing that separates a man from God. Sin is the thing that will cause a man to lose his soul for all eternity. And sin is the thing that will destroy his relationship with God. But the good news about it, the bad news is offset by the good news that God provided a remedy. He provided a way that we could overcome our sin. We could overcome our rebellion. We could overcome our disobedience. We could overcome our weakness. And that we could maybe be right, justified, sanctified, cleansed, and be acquitted of our sin and the condemnation and the burden of the guilt through the acceptance of Christ's terms, through the grace of God and the remedy that was provided by the sacrifice of his Son and the shedding of his blood, we can have redemption, we can have sanctification, we can have justification, and we can be one with God, and we can be his child. Christ will be our brother, and we'll be in the family of God, and we'll be able to address God as our Father. Such are blessings given to the sinner when he turns to God for the redemption that can only be found in Christ Jesus. Yes, sin is the bad news, and the good news is God has provided a remedy. That remedy is in the Son, Jesus Christ, and the blood that he shed on Calvary. Now, in the last few weeks, we have discussed in detail the nature of man and that nature's relationship with sin. Unless one comes to a true biblical understanding of our relationship and duty to God, one can never fully know how sin destroys that fellowship and that relationship. Man sins by choice, not by design. God has provided his safe return if he will comply with God's conditions offered through his grace. The theories we have discussed in this lesson will not help man overcome his sin problem. All the things that we've discussed the last few weeks in discussing the sin and the nature of man, all these theories, all this theology of man, all this false teaching of man cannot overcome his sin problem. That problem can only be remedied by Christ through the sacrifice that he gave on Calvary and by applying the blood to the sin-stained soul. It will cause him to remain its prisoner if he doesn't remedy the situation by God's condition, by God's application of the remedy. God desires for man's salvation. He desires no one to perish, but to all to come to repentance, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. It's still his choice to be saved. If God desired that he'd be saved, God's done everything he can to save him. God's done everything in his power to make it possible and achievable, but it's still his choice. How can we fathom that God would create man, will the nature of sin, and then condemn him to the everlasting place of eternal punishment for not really wishing for him to be saved? Who can believe such a theory? Who can believe that God created man to be destroyed? Who can believe that God created man to have to sin And when he sinned, then he would condemn him. Such thinking has gone awry and has failed to consult the only book that gives a true picture of the relationship of God and sin and mankind, and that's the Bible. That's what we've tried to do in a nutshell over these last few weeks. How can we understand such thinking is to place the blame of all sin and suffering and evil on God instead of on Satan? Who can believe such a theory? Who can believe such false reasoning? Who can believe it? Only those who are immersed and misled by our adversary could believe such a theory. Only by not knowing the true nature of man and sin and its relationship to man could one arrive at such a wrong conclusion. Ladies and gentlemen, it is serious. It is serious that we come to grips with the understanding that sin is a problem for all of us, and the only remedy to that problem is Jesus Christ. No one, no person, no thing, no teaching, no wisdom of man, no concoction that he's thought up of in his mind and in his theory can overcome the power and the death that sin brings. Sin brings death. That's what Romans 6:23 tells us very plainly. And the only way to overcome that pronouncement is through the grace of God that was offered by the shedding of the blood of his Son and by applying that blood to the sin-stained soul in order to get the divine remedy that God designed before the world ever began. And so, what have we learned in these past few weeks? Three things I want you to remember. One, you don't have to sin. Number two, we will sin, not because we have to, but because we choose to. But number three, and most importantly, yes, we will sin. Yes, it separates a man from God. Yes, it can cause us to be lost for all eternity. But the good news is, God provided a remedy. That remedy is through his Son and the blood that he shed on Calvary. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He gave us forgiveness of sin. He gave us redemption. He made sanctification possible. He made justification possible. And he made it all possible by his grace extended to man through obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God to save, according to Romans 1 and verse number 16. Yes, sin in the nature of man. Sin came upon man because he chose to disobey God in the very beginning. When he sinned, then sin was brought into the world, and man's life has never been the same. But the false teaching that because of Adam, all of us are doomed to sin is false. And the theories that his sin meant all men would be born sinful are simply wrong, misconstrued, and mistaught and misapplied. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've got a decision to make. Are you going to remain shackled to sin, or are you going to try to break the bondage to sin? If you are, then the remedy you must turn to is Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior, and through his blood, you can break this terrible cycle of sin. If you need help, if you want to know how, please give us a call. We'll be more than happy to open the Bible and show you the plan that God has in order to deal with this sin problem. We pray that you'll take advantage of it. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week as we continue our study of the